The scripture of this evening service is the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Amen. Ukraine, Estonia, Belgium, Netherlands, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, the Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, Israel, Kenya, Uganda, Congo, Burundi, Rwanda, Tanzania, Nigeria, Swaziland, South Africa, Botswana, Cote d'Ivoire, and other countries, and branch churches and local sanctuaries in Korea. And the members who are attending this service through satellite and the internet, and all the TV viewers. Today, I'll deliver the second in a series of messages titled Spiritual Love. Nowadays, I've been giving the Sunday morning service sermons on the kingdom of heaven. I believe that you have felt through the messages on heaven how beautiful the kingdom of heaven is and how happy our lives will be there. Why is the heaven so beautiful and happy? That's because the heaven is filled with love. The reason our Father God has prepared the beautiful heaven for us is that He loves us, His children, and wishes to express His love for us. Then, who enters heaven? They are the children of God, who is love itself. All the members are full of hope for heaven. All the Levites, you should try and work harder. When you became the Levite for the first time, you were full of love for Father God. There were two the families. And they were the family. They are the families giving tithe as much as 3 million won. They said, "We would like to work in a church." And they are waiting for the church to call them. Then I asked them, "How can you give such amount of great tithe to Father God if you start to work in this church?" But they still want to come to work for this church. They said the money doesn't matter. There is something for you to remember. When the saved children of God go to heaven, it is only the spiritual heart, or a heart that has been made complete by the Spirit, that accompanies you. This spiritual heart refers to the heart that has been filled with spiritual love. Since each of the different dwelling places that you will enter is according to the measure of the true love that you have accomplished in your heart, the size and the depth of the love in each dwelling place is also quite different. And your heavenly rewards will be different depending not on how faithful you have been to the Lord, but on how much you have accomplished spiritual love. From today, I will speak about the significance of spiritual love. I wish for all of you to realize that the ultimate purpose of our Christian life is love. Just as the original entity of the kingdom of heaven is love, and to endeavor to fill your heart with love. May each of you share the highest level of love with the Lord in the highest dwelling residence when you reach heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today's scripture, verse 1 says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." The tongues of men here does not refer to a gift of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't. The tongues of men indicate all the languages that mankind has spoken until now. This message, spiritual love, is being interpreted into more than seven languages, including English, Japanese, French, and Russian, and in broadcast to the world. When all these languages are put together, they are called languages of man. Dear brothers and sisters, the power of tongue, the power of spoken word is so great. Have you felt the power of tongue? Recently, the power of our speech has been being emphasized. Many people try to learn how to speak properly for better social life and community activities. Today, when companies employ workers and colleges choose students, they give applicants speech tests through which we can infer the speaking well is recognized as a competency or a skill. This is because proper speech skills are very beneficial in many fields. When you express and convey your emotions and thoughts, you can persuade countless others and move their hearts. In addition, human civilizations and knowledge have been systemized and inherited through the media of languages. Therefore, the languages of man include the persuasive forces to move many people and the strength to accomplish much. These days, broadcasting announcers who host news or entertainment programs are objects of jealousy. Announcer's speech that is so clear and eloquent is not only good at conveying good information and knowledge, but also convey to the audience impressions and joy. No matter how fluent a man's speech may be, however, it is deemed to be no better than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal if it is without love. And now, the tongues of angels refers to very beautiful words. Angels are considered as the objects of beauty by both the children of God who believe in the Lord and unbelieving people alike. So if you look into the Bible, people say that, oh, it's the sound of angels when they hear a beautiful sound. So, when we see those who look at beautiful and elegant, we say that they look like angels. When we see those who speak graciously with a gentle voice, they are said to speak like angels. Many of you have seen angels with your spiritual eyes, so you can infer that considered as beautiful on this earth can be compared to the beauty of the angels. Their beauty cannot be compared. They are very handsome and cute and beautiful and pretty. If you see the angels, so they say that all the angels are beautiful. There are no ugly looking angels. The angels are a little different in their appearances according to their duties and roles, but most of the angels have shining white skin and light golden hair. They look so brilliant. Their clothes are so white and clear as to make the eyes dazzle. And whenever the angels move around, the clothes shine with the lights and blow gently in accordance with the movements. Then, how much more beautiful the angels' words are. Their words are so gentle and beautiful, and their voices are so clear and pure. So, all the female members of the church, you have to practice. I think you'd better practice hard to speak in beautiful voice and words. Even if you're born with not so beautiful sound, depending on how much you practice, you can change it to a beautiful sound and voice. Then your husband will love it too. and all the other main members too. So when you evangelize people, you will greatly benefit you. That's why when we hear the beautiful and the competently skillful and touching voices, we say that it is like that of angels from heaven. Even though you could say such beautiful words of angels as to dazzle others, your words may be deemed by God to be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal if it's without love. What are a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal like? A heavy piece of bronze does not properly ring when it is struck with a stick. But an empty bronze rings when struck with padded stick. The sound is not clear and beautiful, but dull. And a gong is made of thin bronze and is a musical instrument that makes its sound. A gong sends out a very prominent and big sound, and is heard even from distant places. If someone strikes a gong outside your bedroom at night, you may not be able to fall asleep. The older people, all the young people, do you know about this gong? What it is? Do you know what it is? Is the gong is the big one or small one? A small one? Oh, that small one is gong. How about the big one? Oh. So it makes a very noisy sound, right? Most of you would not be able to go to sleep because of that noisy sound of the gong. So in the field side, when they have a feast or a party, or like a wedding feast or party, then, you know, in Korea, traditionally, they have this kind of instruments and they play it so noisily. And then they go around all the houses and they play it in front of the gate. And then those houses bring out rice and stuff. Because those musicians prayed for their blessing by playing those instruments. Those people were wearing very nice in a beautiful costume and play it, and it's so noisy. A heavy copper or bronze object does not sound noisily when struck with a stick. The reason that a gong and a cymbal make noisy sounds is because they are empty, light, or thin. So, Proverbs go, empty vessels make the greatest sound, or the rice stalks are bent with grain. The rice stalks with many unripened grains do not droop down, but stand straight. Vessels are the most valuable when they are filled with a lot of food, and the rice stalks can become joy to farmers when they droop down because of many ripened grains. This is the same for man. When your heart is filled with love and you become like Christ, you can be credited to have the true value of good grains by our God who has cultivated mankind. On the contrary, those who have no love within them are like chaff. A man consists of spirit, soul, and body. When one spirit dies and is under the control of soul and flesh, he is regarded as a man of flesh. This man of flesh is like the chaff. The first man, Adam, was a living spirit when God created him. But after he ate from the forbidden tree and sinned, his spirit died as God had told him, "In the day you eat from it, you will surely die." Since his spirit, that was once the master of the soul and body, died, his communication with God became disconnected. Then, as the master, his soul and flesh came to control both his body and his mind. The enemy devil and Satan has planted untruths into the souls of those who have belonged to the devil because of their sins. As a result, they have lived under the control of the soul and lived in accordance with their instincts. They have been but animals. And that is what the proverb says. As a result, and just as a farmer throws the unnecessary chaff into fire and burns it, men of flesh, whose spirit is dead but whose soul and body remain, will not be saved but be cast into the fire of hell. The 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8 say, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Let us love one another. But some people interpreted it incorrectly. This, let us love one another, has a spiritual love, not the fleshly love. So some people, you know, interpreted it wrong, and they share fleshly love. That is to disgrace our Father God. Spiritual love is not fleshly love. You have to sacrifice yourself and seek for others' benefits and wish for them to go to better heaven. You have to pray, let them read the Word of God and live by the Word of God so that they cannot be tempted by the enemy devil and Satan, so that they can go to better kingdom. This is spiritual love. But fleshly love, and saying that we are loving one another, this is so wrong. This is the way to go to hell altogether. And this is the temptation of the enemy, devil, and Satan. If you interpreted it like this wrong, then this is to disgrace our Father God. Share your spiritual love with each other. How great it is. You have to lead other souls to be prosperous in this earth and as well as in heaven. When you make a visit to other members' church, at other members' house, you have to let other people to grow up in their faith. Love is from God. Our Father God is love itself. So love belongs to our Father God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Our Father God is love itself. So if you share this spiritual love, you're going to know the heart of our Father God. The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. This precious word of Father God, you should not interpret this flashly. It is to disgrace our Father God. One who does not love his brothers has nothing to do with God, who is love. The man has no life, the most important part of him. There is a student who practices so hard to become a professional golfer. He went to Australia for the practice. So, and on Sunday, they go out for sightseeing. And the other days, they practice so hard. But this student of Manmin, he doesn't go out for sightseeing. On Sunday, he go to church to worship our Father God. He was like that. And his parent told me so. So I was so delighted. I was so pleased with him. This is spiritual love. If you truly believe and love our Father God, let's just think about it. He might have a good excuse because every other friends go out for sightseeing. But he didn't make any excuse. Since he knows our Father God, since he loves our Father God, he doesn't go out for sightseeing on Sunday. He kept the holy day. He kept the Lord's day. What a great faith he has. This is spiritual love. This is the proof that he loves our Father God. And this is how you teach your children. Therefore, no matter how fluent and skillful his words are, he is created to have no value and cannot give true joy and life to others. His words may give only disgust and cause discomfort to listeners, as his heart is empty, just as a gong and a cymbal make noisy and discomforting sounds. Dear brothers and sisters, you may live with so many words every day. Then, what kinds of words do you say day by day? Have you caused pains to others' hearts, or made them frown like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal? Or, on the contrary, have you said only beautiful words to the Lord and the people around you, enough to be worthy of praise? The old singers, the reason they are loved by other people is because they sing with beautiful voices. But if, let's suppose, they sing a song with a clanging sound, how can they be loved by others? Since they try to make beautiful voices, they are loved. Then, the people around you will want to hear even one more word from you. As said before, the languages of man have tremendous power. The words of love have the power to revive the dead. Throughout the history of mankind, a man sent out only those good words of reviving the souls. His words were written into tens of books, and those books have been inherited until now for a few thousand years. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the books are referred to as the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible. The word of our Lord Jesus Christ is the word to revive life and plant the life, and the word full of love. His word made other people's life prosperous and planted life so that they can love heaven, our Father God. His words are all words of love. The word which gives us life. Our Lord Jesus preached the word of God for a short period of time, for 3 years. But the messages that he preached were recorded and have been handed down to us for 2,000 years, and they have changed and revived countless souls. The very words of the Lord and our Father God are included in the Bible. It is said that no other book has been spread and read more than the Bible in the history of mankind. The Bible was recorded between about 1500 BC until about 100 AD, and after that, all the books were put together and published and have been as they are today for a long period. The Bible has been translated and disputed into about 2,000 languages, and now is being translated into others. From 1980s until now, more than 6 billion books have been being printed. What is the reason that the Bible has been a steady bestseller for long? If you read, hear, and meditate on the Bible, no matter how long the time has passed, you can feel the width, length, height, and depth of immeasurable love of our Father God and our Lord toward mankind remains the same. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, we can find what a great love was harbored in every single word of Jesus. One morning, Jesus taught the people at the synagogue. A few Pharisees and scribes took a woman caught in the act of adultery before Jesus and asked him a question. They said, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the adultery, in the very act. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" But Jesus started to write on the ground with his finger. At the lecture on the Gospel of John, I previously explained to you what Jesus had written on the ground. He wrote down the sins that the people there had in common. After writing, Jesus answered them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And as said in verse 9, when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone, and the woman, where she was, in the center of the court. The people felt so guilty. But how about nowadays? People don't even feel guilty. But these people, the Pharisees and scribes, felt guilty at that time. And everyone but the woman had left from that place. Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Our Lord is forgiving. Even I committed adultery. No, this is not. Our Lord said, "Do not sin anymore. If you commit sin again, then it is going to build a thicker wall between you and the Father God. And it is harder to destroy it." Our Father God forgave her. He said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Our Lord didn't say, "You can commit the sin again." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the woman was at the point of being stoned to death because of her adultery. Whose words saved her and gave her true life? The Pharisees and scribes asked the will of Jesus, condemning her with the law of Moses that God gave him. Their condemnation was not wrong because it was based on the law of God. They spoke rightly according to the law that was standard of righteousness. The Pharisees and scribes were called rabbi, in other words, teachers at that time. They taught the people the word of God, including the law of God and many teachings of wisdom. How do you suppose that they spoke in carrying out their everyday lives? Since the Pharisees and scribes were blameless in their duties under the law, they spoke only of the law of God and taught the people only the things of righteous and holy teachings. And there are still such people nowadays. But one day, a man named Jesus appeared who seemed to have come from no better family, had no great education and learning, and no better background than they had. However, when he began to teach the people, they recognized, praised, and loved Jesus more than the rabbis day by day. Finally, the rabbis became jealous and fell into fear. If you feel jealousy and envy, then that's the proof that you do not have love. That's because you do not have love, you are jealous of people. So, those rabbis became jealous and fell into fear. They even said that this man does not learn, didn't learn. How can he know the word that is written in the chapter 7 of the Gospel of John? They didn't have love inside their heart. That's why they tried to find the wrongdoings in the teachings of Jesus Christ, Apostle Peter, and Apostle Paul. What they did was, everything was of goodness. But they tried to accuse them of whatever they did. According to the law of Moses. But they didn't understand the law of God. Not properly. Did the law of God say that healing the people on Sunday is violating the Lord's Day? No, it doesn't. It was the tradition of the elders. These are happening right now, these days. People made up their own tradition and they condemn and judge other people. But still, our Lord Jesus Christ didn't stop and He continued to do good things. So all the Pharisees and scribes said that, oh, Jesus violated the Lord's day. So they tried to plan an evil scheme to kill Him. They thought they know the law and they know the word of Father God, but they didn't have love. They should have rather be thankful to the Lord. Then their good words turned into evil ones. They began to say, how could we condemn Jesus? How could we overcome Jesus and take back the praise of the people? They didn't look at the life of the woman caught in the midst of adultery, and mercy and compassion were found nowhere in them. They took advantage of the woman and the law of Moses in order to find the grounds to accuse Jesus. No matter how smart they were in the law of God, and no matter how properly they confessed the righteousness of God, their words were not good anymore. How about Joseph, who married to Virgin Mary? He was a man of goodness. Because he was such a man of goodness. When the situation says, the engaged lady, the Virgin Mary, got pregnant, just imagine. Even if you are engaged, even if they are engaged, until they officially married, they don't sleep together. They don't even touch each other. It is committing adultery. They cleanse their body and clean their heart for a year. But after the wedding, they do whatever they want. All the Christians do the same even today. Do not make any excuse in front of the Lord and our Father God. If you truly love our Father God, you should live by His word. So, Virgin Mary was the lady that he is engaged with. But the virgin became pregnant. So you can say, I mean, he could say that he committed adultery. But Joseph didn't stone her death. Even though he did, it was not a sin. But out of his goodness, he wanted to quit out of his goodness quietly. Apparently, Maria committed adultery. Who could believe that a lady was conceived by the Holy Spirit? He didn't get angry. He didn't blame her. He just wanted to quit it quietly. But can we say that he violated the law? No, we can't. He was ahead of the law. Love is ahead of the law. Love is ahead of justice. And our Father God is love itself. Love completes the law. Our Father God gave us the law because He loves us. Without law, this world will be full of violence and the people with evil hearts. So law is given to us because God loves us so much. So the people of Father God put love in front of the law. No matter how smart they were in the law of God, and no matter how properly they confessed the righteousness of God, their words were not good anymore. If there are servants of God who are of goodness, then they will be delighted with the works happening in this church, because this church shows and proves the Bible is true and our Father God is alive. Many people, all the servants of God, should come to this church and learn it. Like the servants of God in other countries, if they have just a little bit of spiritual love and the truth, they should come to this church and learn. But on the contrary, they try to judge and condemn and destroy it. How can they say that they are no different from those Pharisees and scribes? We should have love inside our heart. How about Jesus' words? Even though He might be wrongfully accused or condemned, He wished to save the souls. When the woman was taken there, Jesus had only the desire to save the woman who had been doomed to death because of her sin. He just wanted to save her. Our Lord Jesus Christ just wanted her to live without sin. The reason that Jesus said to the people around her, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her," was not because He wished to condemn them. If our Lord Jesus had possessed even a little desire to condemn them, He would have demonstrated their sins in detail and rebuked each of them. But in reality, He did not. All He did was to write their sins on the ground so that they could realize their sins on their own and turn from those sins. This is the love And this is the difference between our Lord and Deacon Stephen. Our Lord was even smarter than Deacon Stephen. Our Lord was so full of wisdom. He knew how to get away from the situation. And he sometimes courageously stand against those other people. He wanted those people to realize and feel the great love of God that transcends the righteousness of the law. Outwardly, both the words of the Pharisees and scribes and the words of Jesus were short, but the intentions and hearts embedded in the two were totally different. One side of the heart was to inevitably bring harm to others, but the other was to spare others. This hypocritical aspect of the Pharisees and the scribes is found not only in the Bible, but also within you while you are accomplishing the spiritual heart. You have listened to many words of God in your Christian lives. The words of God that are concerned with goodness and evil, and sin and righteousness. You believers, reflect upon yourselves according to these words, and discover and change yourselves. But some of you, when you have a long history of faith and receive petitions in church, you then come to judge and bother your juniors and peers. You may say that you rebuke or point out to the other because you want to lead him to the right way and for him to get along well. But the result is that the other person feels pains and burdens from it. Even if you do not point out faults with evil intentions, unless you have accomplished complete love in your hearts, you are led to force and strike out at the other person with your own self-frame of mind and self-righteousness. So when you have virtue and love and gentleness in your heart, then you will not say any word that is going to point out others' heart. When you are a boss in your business, those subordinates underneath you, let's say they are three or four, then everybody should be in peace. If you cannot bring peace into that small number of people, then there is no way that you can bring peace into a more number of, you know, people. Everybody has different ideas, knowledge, and thoughts. And their environment, growing up environment is different. Their books that they read is different. So everything is different in their heart and mind. You should be able to make peace all these people. And this man is the man of great heart. All the branch churches, such church can experience great revival. Because of this, because of that man, we cannot experience great revival. No, that's not. You should be able to embrace all the people. Then the enemy devil and Satan will not accuse you. And your work and business will be prosperous. That's what I emphasize all the time. Don't stick to your own idea. Don't say that you are right all the time. If you do so, then there cannot be any peace in your work and business. You should respect others. You should embrace others. If you say that, I'm a boss. My opinion is right. then if you bring others and if you force others with your own self-righteousness, then you cannot make peace with others. Everybody has different idea, knowledge, thoughts. Everybody has different things. You should be able to consider others' hearts and opinions and ideas. Then that is the man of great heart. Out of goodness, you should receive the wisdom and understanding from heaven, and you should be able to make peace with others like this. You should be able to make other people understood. It may be difficult in the beginning, but when you become the complete goodness and resemble the heart of the Lord, then you can do it. When I deal with the congregation yesterday, Thursday and Friday, I met so many people, even from the branch churches. And yesterday, I met so many teams. About 4 o'clock, I'm not sure if it's a 4 or before 4, so many people say that, Senior Pastor, it's done, so you can go back to your 5th floor and take a rest. The way will close. So what should I do? I should obey them, right? Even though I know it, I have to obey. But I just say the word before I obey. Isn't the promise is up to 6? But they still ask me to go upstairs and take a rest. Okay, then I will go upstairs. I made the promise until 6 o'clock. So I should wait, because there will be people who come to me at 6. Even if there is only one member, then I have to meet him. So after half an hour later, I will come down. When there are a great number of people, then I will meet them in the basement. If not, then I will meet them in the 5th floor. And they said, okay. About half an hour later, they said, there are so many people, so please come down to the basement. Which one is goodness? I made a promise that I'm going to meet people at 6 o'clock. How can I go back to my place because there is no people at that time? Even if there is only one person come to meet me, I have to meet him. So I met them, and then it was over 6 o'clock. Whatever you do, if you made a promise, then you should be able to keep. Also, you have to obey your subordinates, others, your subordinates' ideas, like I did. If you can do it, then you can make peace with others. Then everybody will be in peace. And everybody will understand. And it will be great blessing of Father God. And we can give glory to our Father God. Everything should be like this. When you run your business, when you work in your business, you should be able to do like this. Do not ignore your subordinate's idea. Hey, that man does not know anything. You should not be like this. If you do like this, then your business cannot be prosperous. When your subordinates, your employees work as one, then you can be prosperous. The same applies to the church, work, business, your home. After I came back from the mountain prayer, there is a small room right in between my bedroom and a restaurant. The president of Mami Prayer Center made it very clean and decorated it very nice. I didn't ask her how much it cost, but it was so good. When you go to mountain prayer, when you are not there, then I would like to remodel your bedroom. Is it okay? She asked me. So, what do you think I answered? Well, what you did was so beautiful. I liked it. But didn't it cost too much? And she said, because since you're so alone all the time, doing your everything for our Father God, so if I do it, then you will feel great. So that's why I would like to do it. Oh, really? Then okay. Then please. I wanted to save money, but she loves me so much. And she wants me to do God's work in that beautiful environment. But how can I just ignore her? She wants to do God's work in a beautiful room. So I said, well, when I'm not here, then please do. Then she told me, don't even try to know how much it's going to cost. Between husband and wife, between parents and children, between friends, between relatives. If you try to understand others' heart and accept it, obey it, and try to make peace with others through conversation, then how good it is. At first, you try to help the other person realize his faults with good intentions. But when the other person does not follow your words or tries to change his life, your good intentions may disappear and you begin to speak to him with harsh expressions because of your ill feelings. You may express your emotional discomfort when you point things out to him that needs to change. Our Lord does not break off a battered reed and not put out a smoldering wick. If you harbor this heart of the Lord in you, you will pray and ask for the wisdom of God, saying, how can I encourage him with my words? How can I help him restore the grace and come forth into the truth? But some of you try to persuade other people with the word of God in a prejudging and biased way. And you may address the problem and then rebuke the other so as to force him to correct the things that are not right in your eyes. So, I urge you to look back and see whether you have always told the truth or forced the other with your own frameworks and self-righteousness. And even though you have told the truth outwardly and made expressions of the angels, I would like to ask you to examine if you said something from the heart to revive the souls or not. When you hear a word of others, do not judge or condemn. And try to see if there is truly love inside the heart, inside the word. If it's not, then you don't need to listen to it. By listening to such a word, then your heart will be hurt. If you continue to examine and change your life in this way, your words will be accompanied with the power and authority to revive the souls like our Lord did. Here comes the conclusion. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I told you before, angels are so beautiful. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So all the angels who are sent to this earth are those who should render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. For those who accept Jesus Christ as a Savior and recorded their name on the Book of Life. They said, they used the present tense, saying that who will inherit salvation means you will keep trying to receive the final salvation until the Lord comes back. So, the angel is accompanying you all the time. But unbelievers do not have such angel. The believers have an angel all the time. But when you live by the word of God, the angel will protect you. When you don't live by the word of God, the angel cannot do anything by the justice of the Lord. And they, those angels will ignore about 10 or 20 meters behind you. And they just look at you. They cannot protect you. They cannot help you. And the Satan will come to you and do its work. Because the angels cannot protect you. Our Father God sends out the beautiful angels to render service for His children as ministering spirits. No matter how beautiful the angels' words are, our Father God rejoices more in and counts more valuable a single word of the children who have accomplished true love in their hearts through human cultivation than millions of words of angels. Our Father God is more pleased with your prayer. Therefore, I wish for you to remember the word of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. And long for the heart full of love rather than some eloquent words or angels' words. May every word that you say quench the thirst of the souls, comfort and encourage the heartbroken, and be credited to be the living water of life and precious stones. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. When I had the meeting with the members of these people, since I pray and deliver the message all the time to people, they feel sorry for that. That's why they want me to go upstairs and take a rest. If they truly love me, they will ask me to go upstairs, but they should add, please, senior pastor, remember that you made a promise that you are going to meet 6 o'clock. So please don't forget, you have a meeting promised until 6 o'clock. Don't forget that. Then I will realize that right away, when the people come, I should come. This is the true service. Senior pastor, there is no one, so go to your room and take a rest. Then this is not true service. The people at my residence told me with that intention. I hope that other people will serve others with true intention. When you serve our Father God, you should serve our Father God according to the will and the heart of our Lord and our Father God. And this is the true service. Let's think over the message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you for your grace and love. Father God, let your message become life and faith in our heart. And let us know true love so that just as you love us, just as the Lord loves us, let us love spiritually. Let us not become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Let us share spiritual love with each other so that we can change beautifully and beautiful children of yours, the children of the light. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'll pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on the sick part of your body or infirmities of your body and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. From the States, Belarus, and Vancouver, people sent me the prayers, sent me. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ryubopu Kashileba. I'm 69 years old. I'm in the city of Vancouver in the States. I installed the satellite dish and we started to watch RBN Rodnoy. One day, we happened to watch Reverend Dr. Gerald Lee's sermon. And Reverend Dr. Gerald Lee was clearly explaining why Jesus Christ is our Savior. With my husband, I received Reverend Dr. Gerald Lee's prayer, and we experienced and feel the great work of the Lord. We came to know that Reverend Dr. Gerald Lee is the true servant of God. From that time on, we came to know Reverend Dr. Gerald Lee conducted many crusades in overseas countries and worked greatly for our Father God. So without our knowledge, many people are receiving great grace from our Father God through GCN and Mamun TV programs. There are many people like that. I'm so thankful for that. Let's pray. Father God, please lay your hands on them. Give them power, power, power. From head to toe, in every intestine and organs, burn all the diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit and the most high power of creation. All the darkness go away. May the light come. Please work on them, transcending space and time. Bless all the brothers and sisters who are attending this service through the satellite and internet. All your precious children. Father, please lay your hands on the GCN viewers and all the people who sent these pictures requesting their prayers. Give them power, power, power. From Belarus, Ryubopu, please heal her arthritis. All the arthritis go away. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, all the arthritis go away. Alessandro, two-year-old baby. She's suffering from AIDS. Father, all the AIDS go away. Be cleansed. Be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. May the light come. Edgardo Alfonso from the States requested prayer to make a new contract. Father, he is a baseball player. Please lay your hands on him so that he can make a new contract with the good condition. Please bless him. May the light come. Father, please bless him. Ricardo Reyes requested prayer. She is planning to establish new radio station. Father, please bless him so that he can establish new radio station. He is going to Argentina to conduct crusades. Father, please be with him and bless him so that many people come to the crusades and receive great grace from him, so that all many servants can learn from him. Ryubopu Gashileva, all the breast cancer go away. Be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All the breast cancer go away. Arthritis go away. All the blood pressure go away. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, please give her physical strength. All the congregation, Father, please lay your hands on their body from head to toe and burn all the diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit and the most high power of creation. All the darkness go away. May the light come. Let their weak be prosperous when whatever they do. Let them come to have spiritual faith and love. Let them have the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let them not break peace with anybody. Let them become one and let them have great love and heart. Let there be peace between husband and wife, parents and children, between neighbors, and between brothers and sisters in Christ, between relatives, between colleagues, between business. Let them make peace with others. Give them blessing. Give them wisdom and understanding. All the members, all the congregation, all the elders, let them have great love and heart. Give them power. Bless them, Father. Bless them when they come in or when they go out. Let them become the head, not the tail. Protect them during this week. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.